Ladies and gentlemen, I think we're ready to start again. Mr. Miller, you've got your panel assembled here, and I'd like to start, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On January 4th of this year, 2008, the Joint Review Panel sent a letter to Suffield Industry Range Control, LTD, requesting it present evidence regarding its roles and responsibilities as it relates to past and present natural gas developments in the NWA, and especially to Encana's proposed project. In particular, the panel expressed interest in learning more about CERC's role in pre-disturbance assessments and in the reclamation and closure phases, and that was set out in the letter. In response to the panel's request, CERC filed a written submission on February 25, 2008. That document has been assigned exhibit number 008-002. On May 30, 2008, CERC filed responses to information requests from the Government of Canada, and that document has been assigned exhibit number 008-001. As you've observed, CERC is presenting two witnesses to speak to its filed evidence. Closest to the panel is Mr. Stephen Moffat, who is the president of CERC. He will address questions concerning CERC's policy and position related to its roles and responsibilities. And to Mr. Moffat's left is Mr. Robert Barron, who is CERC's supervisor, range safety. He will address questions concerning operational aspects of CERC's roles and responsibilities. And as I dealt with this morning, the CVs for these gentlemen were marked collectively as Exhibit 008-003. Sir, if the witnesses may now be sworn.
Thank you, Mr. Miller. Please proceed. Please proceed, Mr. Miller.
Start with you, Mr. Moffat. Sir, were CERC Exhibits 1 and 2 and your curriculum vitae being part of the CERC Exhibit 3 prepared by you or under your direction?
Yes, sir.
And do you have any corrections to make to those documents?
No, sir.
Is the information contained in those documents accurate to the best of your knowledge or belief?
Yes, sir.
And do you adopt CERC Exhibits 1, 2, and 3 as the evidence of CERC in this proceeding?
Yes, sir.
And do you adopt your CV as your evidence in this proceeding?
Yes, sir.
And, Mr. Barron, were CERC Exhibits 1 and 2 and your curriculum vitae being part of CERC Exhibit 3 prepared by you or under your direction?
Yes, they were.
And do you have any corrections to make to those documents?
I do not.
Are those documents accurate to the best of your knowledge or belief?
Yes, sir.
And do you adopt your CV as your evidence in this proceeding?
I do.
With that, Mr. Chairman, these witnesses are now available for questioning. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Miller, and welcome, Mr. Moffat and Mr. Barron. In order of questioning, I see Ms. Klemek would be first, but as she's shaking her head, I assume that you have no questions and or do not wish to conduct cross-examination. Next, ask Mr. Lambrecht. If he wishes to raise questions with the members of this CERC panel.
Yes, sir, if I might have your indulgence, I realize it's late. I just need to find one passage on my paper.
Certainly, Mr. Lambert.
Thank you.
gentlemen, have you been able to inform yourself about the traffic volumes that enter CFB Sheffield as a result of oil and gas development collectively, all of it, on the base recently?
I'll start, sir. The short answer is yes. As part of our regular duties, we track and count every vehicle that comes through our gates. And I will defer to Mr. Barron if you want to get any more details about that or indeed how we track it over the years.
Well, in your tracking and counting, do you distinguish between oil and gas vehicles and other vehicles?
Yes, sir, we do. Each of my gate guards, every vehicle that passes through as it enters the range is physically counted on a sheet. We only count oil and gas trackers, and we do not count any kinds of rate.
And you keep summaries of your count annually?
Yes, sir. We do.
And what would be the most current year for which you have annual count?
Right up to the end of September 2008.
All right. And can you give us some idea over the last few years what the annual count of oil and gas traffic onto the base are?
The rough daily average would be somewhere in the order of 300 to 325 vehicles per day.
What about a total?
Annually, that would run from, I believe in the last few years, anywhere from between 105 to roughly 120,000 per year.
All right. We heard a few moments ago, were you here listening to the evidence this afternoon?
Yes, sir, we were both here.
Okay. There was some reference to a past practice, not a present practice, but a past practice where CERC may have signed some applications for development forms which went to ERCB, and CERC's signature may have sort of served as some kind of evidence of landowner consent without the knowledge of the base. Do you know anything about such a practice in the past?
Yes, sir. Just give me a second. I'm going to get my reference material here.
Thank you, sir.
I believe the practice to which you refer, Mr. Lambrecht, is one that was initially laid out when the 1999 partial access agreement was signed. I believe it is Schedule E, and again, forgive me, well, I believe it'll start at least with Schedule E, where it laid out the practice where it was, in fact, if you go to that particular schedule, if I may read it, would that be helpful? Schedule E of the surface access agreement says that there would be an annual meeting, and one of the aims of that annual meeting, and I paraphrase up to that point, would be, and I quote, to obtain the approval of the base commander in principle for the proposed operations, end of quote. That particular schedule then goes on, sir, to explain that with that approval in principle, the practice as laid out at that time was that then provided direction for Range Safety to conduct the procedures outlined in paragraph 4 of that schedule, which would include, I would expect, I think, what you were referring to.
All right, thank you. And I can read the agreement. And is it your understanding that that practice, whatever it was in the past, has now ceased?
That is my understanding, yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I don't have any other questions.
Thank you, Mr. Lambert. In Canada, do you have any questions?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Jensted. Mr. Musso? I have two questions, I think, sir. I've spoken with the base commander, and I've spoken with Ed Canna about
the existence of an accurate and up-to-date map of trails in the NWA, and I'm wondering if that is a document, or if CERC has a map that accurately shows the authorized trails in the NWA.
We have battery maps that we obtained from Midwest Surveys that my staff use, other than those battery maps, which we have obtained, I believe, in 2007. That's the most accurate maps we have.
Okay, and I understand one of the goals of NCANA over the next 3 to 6 months is to complete an access map and work with DND to finalize which trails within the NWA are authorized and which ones aren't. Are those discussions that CERC would necessarily need to be involved in or want to have some input into?
Thank you. I believe so, Mr. Musso, but clearly the decision process of which ones to be used are beyond what I am mandated to do. Certainly once those decisions are made, then yes, I would hope to be involved so that we could adjust those aspects of access control and movement control that we are responsible for to organize those to conform with those routes that are chosen.
And once that's done and authorized trails are identified, does CERC have any enforcement duties if it were to find out that an industry operator had gone off an authorized trail?
The short answer, Mr. Musso, is yes. As is clearly, I believe, at least stated in the agreements, the surface access agreement in particular, operators are to follow all these orders and directions, and CERC has been granted in the surface access agreement the authority to remove access rights from an operator who violates any of those instructions, to include directions as to what route to or not to take. I don't know if Mr. Barron, you want to add anything anecdotally, or I don't think it's necessary.
Has CERC ever taken such a step in the past?
Yes, we have. I can't give a specific example as to, for example, an operator violation of using an access trail, but there are numerous instances where an operator or one of their service providers has breached a rule or a regulation, if you will, that we have given them, and we have removed them from the range from as little as a period of 2 weeks to lifetime suspensions for various events.
I guess that was my last question. Is there a sliding scale of consequences?
Yes, there is. For example, there's a speeding policy in the base range standing orders, which we enforce on behalf of the base commander on oil and gas industry vehicles, and that has a sliding scale of suspension starting at 14 days up to a lifetime suspension. There are some things pertaining to globally what we call range safety, which would involve someone out of curiosity or more likely out of stupidity fiddling with live ammunition or any type of ammunition. That's an automatic lifetime suspension. Entering a live fire template, either accidentally or on purpose because they're curious, or again, intellectually challenged, would result in, depending on the situation, a 6-month suspension all the way up to, could be a lifetime suspension. And that has happened. I couldn't give you the frequency of it, but it does happen.
And that leads me to one last question. Is there similar consequences for unauthorized entry into the NWA?
Yes. I started make a simple answer a little more difficult. I started in 2002 with CERC and in my initial training when I came there. It's always been our practice, regardless of who the person is, if someone comes on the radio in the morning when they're going to work and they say, I'm here and I would like to go there, if the location they give that they're going to is the National Wildlife Area, one of the things our radio operators automatically do, if they don't know, for example, the Encana, if it's an Encana operator, they know they have a right to go there. If they don't recognize the call sign or the individual who is going there, they immediately ask them, why are you going there and what is your reason? And if, for example, they just say, well, it's quicker for me to get from point A to point B by going through the NWA, no, I'm sorry. And if, in fact, that individual did that, that breaches another regulation of you did not stick to the route you said you were going to. And depending on the day, for example, if there's live firing going on, that person would be removed from the range of light. So even if they just went into the National Wildlife Area, it's going to get them kicked off or police at least anyway.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, gentlemen. Mr. Chairman, those are my questions.
Thank you, Mr. Musso. I'll turn to my colleagues on the panel. Okay, Dr. Ross.
In your submission, you indicate that CERC involvement in pre-disturbance assessments is normally limited to the very initial stages involving coordination and the facilitation of information gathering relevant to a particular site. I couldn't figure out what that meant. Do you go dig up soil?
On the contrary, no, sir. What I was referring to, or what we were referring to in that reply, was more in line with our regular duties of coordination and gathering of information to be submitted, in most cases, to the base or whatever. That's all it was. It's just the normal, our normal duties as outlined in the agreement.
And the next item, I assume, has a very similar response, and that is, in terms of practices of reclamation and abandonment, are just part of your normal core tasks, coordination, monitoring, and verification. Same answer.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Mr. Musso was asking you about your monitoring of violations. How do you measure speeding? Do you have secret radar tracks out there?
Each of my staff and myself included, as a matter of fact, before I became the supervisor of range safety, we engaged the services of one of the RCMP officers in Canada who was a radar instructor at their academy in Regina. And he came and gave us a two-week course on a radar gun set that we purchased specifically for that purpose. And my staff now does go out and do speed enforcement. And in order to assist with that, one of the individuals we recently hired is a newly retired military policeman whom we poached from Colonel Bruce's staff.
Twice I've tried to make a joke and found that I was bang on. My last question, yesterday we heard from CERC. The Medley CERC has been around longer. CR. I've got a strange combination of letters written down here. FEAC is what I was trying to do, and I see I put an R in the middle of it. We heard from FEAC, and the folks from FEAC have encountered over the last third of a century that this has been around, some problems with uncertainty, a certain authority and responsibility, and especially resource challenges. Now, you folks have yet to hit your first decade, and so I would expect different. My real question is, have you encountered any significant problems by way of being able to fulfill your responsibilities or making sure you have enough resources?
Thank you, Dr. Ross. The short answer is no. as it stands right now, since I arrived last year, I increased the, we increased our staff levels to where they are now. And for the moment, they are adequate. So we have not had any challenges in that respect. With respect to carrying out our mandate, unless my colleague tells me different, I also believe the answer to that is no. I mean, yes, of course, sir, there are always challenges, but we've hired some good folks. We have a good, at least in my opinion, a good working relationship with Colonel Bruce and his colleagues, and of course there are speed bumps, the radar guns notwithstanding, and but we work through those, so the short answer is no.
Would there be any difficulties if we've heard some discussion in this hearing about the prospect of using GPS units on all traffic so that you would be better able to monitor where they're going and presumably how fast they're going? Would that cause any complications for you folks?
No. As a matter of fact, we are looking into that right now. I think the commander alluded to the fact that we have been working together to bring our practices more in line with what he wants. Not that they weren't bad before, but this is his responsibility, and I do this on his behalf. And one of the things we are looking at right now, in fact, in conjunction with the Cold Lake Air Weapons Range, is a GPS chip that can be inserted into different types of radios, so I don't have to buy a completely different system. So but it is very embryonic, and we're still not there yet. But the short answer is yes, we are actively considering it.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. That's all the questions I have.
Thank you, Dr. Ross. I think I've just got one question. I understand that accidents and that sort of thing are reported to CERC if and when they happen on the base.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Do you also receive reports of, let's say, wildlife vehicle collisions and that sort of thing?
Yes, we do.
Could you give me a sense of the frequency of that?
Sure, I would have to say that would be less than annually. I can't think of the last instance.
Sorry, we had it one per year, is that?
Yeah, maybe, sir. We had, I can't believe it was last year, the year before, a vehicle struck an antelope, for example. I couldn't give you a date on that. It's relatively infrequent.
Thank you. That completes my questioning. We've heard quite a bit about CERC over the duration of our proceedings, so I think that's also reflected in the, I guess, the paucity of questions that we have here this evening. That concludes our questioning. Mr. Miller, did you have any redirect that you wish to raise?
Even if I did, Mr. Chairman, I think at 5 to 5 on a Friday afternoon after a long week, I might get lynched if I did. So, but I don't in any event. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Miller. All right, Mr. Denstead.
Mr. Chairman, we have an undertaking to file that was given by given to Mr. Musso on October 15th at page 1429, line 2 of the transcript, and it's regarding the consolidated list of commitments made throughout this proceeding. You could report to mark that, and I've kind of lost track of the numbers, quite frankly. 135 or 6.
Right? I think it would be, if my list is up to date, would be 136. Mine isn't up to date, but it is now, I guess. So, 136. Thank you.
And if there are any commitments tomorrow, we'll simply update this list.
Okay.
Thank you,
Mr. Denstead. I'd like to thank CERC panel and Mr. Miller for your attendance and the information you provided today. That concludes our hearing today, but in terms of tomorrow, just let me spend a moment about starting time and what will happen. Tomorrow we will be hearing from the two panel experts and also a rebuttal from Encana.
I would propose that we start at the regular time at 8:30 tomorrow morning, and hopefully with that we will have an earlier completion in the bay. And that would be, I think, something that everybody would appreciate, I hope, including me. So with that, we'll close proceedings, and we'll see you tomorrow morning at 8:30. Thank you.